Now getting into the workings of Eskom. I think the conversation of late is everyone shocked really on how we haven't had load shedding. People asking each other not to jinx it. We've had about close to 2 weeks of lights on and no load shedding, and we all don't want to talk about it because we might just jinx it. But just to get the answers on why we've gotten so much light of late, as Chris Yelland, an energy analyst and MD at EE Business Intelligence. Chris, a good sign that maybe Eskom is marching the right way, or a bad omen in that a lot of South Africans have moved away from the grid?
Well, it's a bit of both, to be honest. There certainly has been an improvement with less unplanned breakdowns occurring in the first 13 months of this year compared to the same period last year. This has given Eskom a bit more space to do maintenance. So they've increased the planned maintenance outages and are doing higher levels of planned maintenance this first 13 weeks of the year compared to the same period last year. So the two are kind of balancing each other out, and therefore the availability of the Eskom fleet is actually about the same as it was for the first 13 weeks of last year, because whilst the unplanned breakdowns have reduced, the planned outages have increased, so the availability has stayed about the same. But we are experiencing very significantly lower levels of frequency of load shedding, as well as the intensity, the level of load shedding, in this first 13 weeks. And so people are asking why. And it's really because that demand for electricity, of Eskom electricity, is reducing year on year, and it has been doing so for several years. And the private sector has come on board very significantly in the last 2 years and in this year. And this is bringing more supply to the grid, which is relieving the burden on Eskom so that it doesn't have the same levels of load shedding. So the more the private sector can supplement the electricity supply, the better. And also the price of electricity has been going up dramatically. This is causing customers to really look carefully at their electricity consumption and save it in all possible ways because of the affordability issue. So we've been seeing people installing solar hot water geysers.
Yeah.
They are, and this doesn't just apply at residential level, you know, across the board, residential, commercial, industrial, mining, agricultural level, people are trying to use electricity efficiently and use it only when absolutely necessary for price reasons. So the price is also having a big driver on demand for grid electricity as people move to alternative energy sources. The business case for these alternatives are becoming better and better as Eskom and municipalities continue to put up their prices at many times the rate of inflation.
And of course, as consumers of this electricity in South Africa, we've all had our own conspiracies on why all of a sudden we've got this power. I mean, elections are coming up and we're thinking, the lights are on, so we could, you know, go to the polls with a different mindset. But looking at what is happening at Eskom, the fact that we've had close to 2 weeks of this power, does it mean that by the time we get to the big consumption season, being winter, we'd still be facing a situation where the lights are on and there's less demand, or things should change when it comes to the weather getting colder?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is, yes, I hear these conspiracy theories all the time, people suggesting that this is just an election tactic before the election, and that after the election things will go back to the bad old days. I must say, I don't believe these for a moment, these conspiracy theories. You know, these conspiracy theories are mouthed by people that know very little about electricity. They're big talkers, but really they don't know the underlying issues, and they sit around thinking about conspiracy theories. So I don't believe that for a minute. I think Eskom is working as hard as it can to alleviate the situation and to get things back under control. And we're seeing the fruits of it at the moment. In terms of whether winter is going to be worse than summer and that we're heading for a really dark winter, I just want to point out that, I mean, experience and the data shows that the load shedding in winter is not necessarily worse than in summer. In fact, just remember, the very first stage 6 load shedding we had in South Africa happened in December 2019, in the middle of summer. So, whilst demand for electricity is increasing, it does increase in winter, Eskom does less maintenance in winter so that there's extra supply to meet this extra demand. So it's kind of offset. So winter is not necessarily the worst month. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean to say that we might have load shedding in winter. There can be. Nobody can predict the future, least of all me or the people at Eskom or the managing director or the chairman or the minister. There can be situations where there are simultaneous failures on generators that plunge one's situation from what might appear to be a relatively good situation and be plunged into a bad situation quite quickly. If a number of generators trip out, you know, at a similar time, it has happened in the past, it could happen in the future. But to say in general that the winter is worse load shedding than in summer is not necessarily true at all.
Then let's look at the workings at Eskom. We do know they carry quite a hefty a debt, and that, of course, caused by the municipalities that don't pay Eskom as well. But looking at the unbundling of the business and refocusing on how Eskom is going to work in future, do you see all these strategies coming together to make sure that there is consistent power supply in the country?
Yeah, you know, the restructuring of Eskom is very necessary, but it's not an immediate quick fix, in the sense that restructuring of Eskom is a process that is going to take several years, many years, in fact, maybe 5 years or more. But we are moving in the right direction, I believe. And this has been driven, firstly, by the necessity to restructure, because the current arrangement at Eskom is simply unsustainable. We just cannot carry on doing things in the same old way that is failing. And secondly, I mean, National Treasury is putting immense pressure on Eskom to restructure. You know, they gave Eskom some bailouts, very significant bailouts, but there were very strict conditionality attached to these, including the restructuring of Eskom, the repayment of its debt, etc. So we're seeing, for example, the creation of the National Grid Company of South Africa, it's called the NTCSA, the National Transmission Company of South Africa. It's taken out transmission sort of out of direct control of Eskom. It's still an Eskom subsidiary for the time being, but it'll become an independent grid company, government-owned. This is not privatization. This is restructuring of transmission as a separate independent state-owned transmission grid company, which will allow a diversification as well as a diversification of energy. That means not just reliance on coal, but also a diversification of generators. So we're going to see a competitive, diverse generation sector emerging, generating into the grid on a competitive basis. We're seeing wheeling and trading of electricity across the transmission grid. All of these will enable the private sector to have a greater participation in the business, in the electricity business. Now, this doesn't mean Eskom is going to die or go away. It just means that there will be additional generators, much needed additional generators, that will provide diversity and manage risk. Our eggs will not all be in one basket that is failing, but we'll have a diversified generation sector. All of this is good.
And then looking at that tariff, I think it's 17% now for households looking to get electricity from Eskom. That pricing strategy from Eskom to try and shore up the business is a sustainable one, because a lot of South Africans, of course, you know, in a tough economy, you know, everything is up in terms of products and also interest rates, and having to still pay a whole lot more to get electricity supply. Is it one that's sustainable, or should they be focusing on making sure they're more efficient?
Well, look, you know, Eskom tries to cover its costs. And it says at the moment, still, despite all these increases, that its prices are not truly cost reflective and that it is not recovering its cost adequately via the tariff. So the answer that they seem to put is we must put up the tariff because we're not recovering enough. But of course, this you've got to remember that the more people put up the price of electricity, the more pressure of on them to use alternative energy sources. And the more Eskom prices go up, the better the business case becomes for alternative electricity sources and alternative energy sources. So you see, for example, people are moving cooking away from electricity onto gas. People are moving away from electricity, electric-operated hot water geysers to solar hot water geysers. People are trying to use as little electricity as possible because it's expensive. And this drives efficiency and the use of the minimum amount of electricity. And this puts Eskom's business case at risk. You see, there are diminishing returns to simply increasing the price of electricity because people move to alternatives. Another way of becoming cost-reflective, not just putting up your prices, is to reduce your costs. If you're not cost-reflective, you can also reduce your costs and become more efficient as an organization in order to become cost-reflective. It's not simply a case of putting up the prices. So I think Eskom's got to really look carefully at its whole structure and its efficiency and the way it does business. And if you look at what's happening around the world, moving towards a competitive, diversified generation sector, generating electricity into a independent national transmission grid company drives greater efficiency and reduces the cost structure. And that is also what is very necessary. It should not be simply a case of putting up the price, because at a certain point you cannot get blood out of a stone. If people don't have enough money, they will not use your product, or they will start stealing your product. And that's the danger.
The curious case of Eskom's renewal. Chris Yelland, an energy analyst and MD at EE Business Intelligence, breaking down there some of the efficiencies that Eskom should be having in future. And nothing is an easy fix. For now, as consumers, we're dealing with a very, very high tariff from Eskom, and hoping that those days without load shedding do last.